In the prophetic words of Tim Mosley, "It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you."
What's good? This is the Building People Podcast, and I am your host, Derek J. Murphy, where we're having edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. And I'm so glad that you've joined us today. This used to be called the Church Folk Show. And while we did have fun doing that show a while back, we decided to change the name and revamp, restart. And we'll talk more about that later. But Building People is more aligned with the brand that we are trying to build and the mission that we are trying to accomplish. And so I'm glad that you're here with us today. And before we get started on anything else, I just want to stop and give a praise report. This week's praise report is coming by way of my Facebook friend, James Moore. He shared it, and I will share it on my page as well. I am Derek J. Murphy on Facebook. It's a video of a young man baptizing his daughter. The caption describes how his daughter was just so nervous about being baptized and just couldn't work up the nerve to do it. But during this entire quarantine and COVID-19 scare and crisis, during this time, she worked up the nerve and asked if she could be baptized. And so he takes her to the bathtub, fills her with water, and walks her through the steps of salvation, making sure that she has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And when she does accept him, he baptizes her right there in the bathtub. And we, as the viewing audience, get to share in that most precious moment where a dad is baptizing his daughter. This is a beautiful thing in such a time where we get all sorts of bad news, all sorts of bad reports. But seeing this child working up the nerve to walk through one of the most holy sacraments of our church and being baptized, it's a beautiful thing. That video is on the Matrimony Ever After page on Facebook. You can also find them on Instagram. And why don't you just go and watch it and share in that beautiful moment. Now, as promised, it's time to figure out which one has to go. On my Facebook page, I shared a photo with four gospel music giants: Donald Lawrence, John P. Key, Ricky Dillard, and Hezekiah Walker. And the question on the floor is, if you had to get rid of one of those artists and all of the music that they have contributed to the gospel music world, which one would have to go? And I teased a little bit about my answer because so many people said that it was an impossible question, that nobody should go, that all of their contributions are necessary and vital to the gospel music world. But according to the rule, one has to go. So first off of my list, the one that has to stay, and no matter what, is John P. Key. Without John P. Key, there is no contemporary gospel music. Kirk Franklin said it himself that John P. Key was the first to do it. He was the first to do it and one of the best to do it by blending a sound from R&B and funk and making it groove for the late 80s, early 90s church choirs. He just brought a new sound that just cannot be denied, and he still rocks it to this day. So we cannot get rid of John P. Key, not to mention that John P. Key is how I learned how to play the organ and the keyboard. Without his music, I wouldn't be a musician. So we can't get rid of John P. Key. Next off the list is Hezekiah Walker. Even though several people said that Hezekiah Walker would have to go, I don't think people really understand the contribution that he brings to the gospel music sound. So Hezekiah Walker is from New York City, to be sure. And he brings that New York sound onto the national stage. Now, if you're from the Northeast or if you're from New York, you understand what that means. You know what that sounds like. But down here in Texas, we had never heard anything like that. The way that the organs blast and the way that they arrange the music and the chord progressions, never heard that before. And so that New York sound was something fresh and innovative that Hezekiah Walker brings to the table. And so we cannot get rid of him. The very first song that our youth choir sung at our church was I Will Go in Jesus' Name. It was a strange time signature, but the chord progressions were just amazing. The groove was funky, and it was a good song for our choir, our youth, to start off with back in the day. So I can't get rid of Hezekiah Walker. From I Will Go in Jesus' Name to Power Belongs to God, all the way up to Better, which I gotta admit, I really didn't like Better at first. It took a while. Radio made me like it. And so, no, we can't get rid of Hezekiah Walker. And so that leaves Donna Lawrence and Ricky Dillard. And there's a whole lot of debate on my feed and on the other pages that I've seen post this picture that, between Ricky Dillard and Donna Lawrence, many people have chosen Donna Lawrence. But between those two, the one who has to go is Ricky Dillard, and here's why. On Donna Lawrence's end, Donna Lawrence is a songwriter, and he has written so many songs throughout his career, not only for his own projects, but for the Tri-City Singers, for Karen Clark Sheard, for LeAndrea Johnson. He's just written so many hits and beautiful songs. In fact, when Sunday comes, could you imagine not having that in any of your gospel rotations? That was probably the best recording of Daryl Coley that I've ever heard. And that song was written by Donna Lawrence. He's just a master writer. Even though he may not be a great singer, he is a master writer, and all of the contributions that he has given to gospel music is through his pen. And so I can't get rid of him. But on Ricky Dillard's end, tell me, how many songs has he actually written? Tell me, what songs did he sing on that he actually sounded, really, really good? In fact, I'll go as far as to say that most of the songs recorded by Ricky Dillard and New Generation Chorale or New G have been covers. And so we can get those songs elsewhere. And even my wife said, he's just so churchy and that churchy sound. No, you can get that in just about any choir. And even if you consider his outrageous directing style, which a lot of people like to watch, if you really think about it, you can pretty much get that anywhere. I can go back to the late and great Orlando Draper from Memphis, Tennessee. I can watch his old videos to get that fix if I want to see, the wild and crazy directing style. I really think the music that we get from Ricky Dillard, we could get elsewhere. And so, unfortunately, as much as I love his music and as much as I love New Generation, Ricky Dillard has to go. And according to my Facebook page, 67% of the people on my Facebook feed agree with me that Ricky Dillard, if we just had to choose, Ricky Dillard would have to go. So once again, this is the Building People podcast, and while it used to be called the Church Folk Show, we have adjusted and switched gears, as I said before, to become more aligned with my brand, to become more aligned with the mission of edifying people through the conversations that we have in this medium. And, this was something that back when I started, it was very few people that were producing podcasts. And when I say few, that's relatively few people producing podcasts and few people listening to the content that was put out through the podcast medium. But just like with anything else, life happened. Back then, a few years ago, I was hosting this show with my cousin. Shout out to Whitley Watson, better known as Whit Rose back then, just a girl from around the way. And, you know, life happened in the middle of our second season. We had some great guests on our show. We had master comedian Derek Keener was our very first guest. He was on the show. We have Pastor Al Warren and Roz Warren talking about marriage, which was one of the most highly rated shows, highly listened to shows. The very most popular show that we had was with Winter Harris and Mark Anthony McRae on The Single Show. They came on and just did a phenomenal job having a great conversation about being single as a Christian. And then we had fellow podcaster Tyler Burns from the Pass the Mic podcast. He was our second season premiere guest, and I was so honored to have him on, and the likes of Dr. Kimberly Ellison, who did a phenomenal job talking about her journey and what she does, as well as Carissa Jennings, Carissa J, talking about dealing with grief. So we had a great run, but right in the middle of that second season, you know, schedule conflicts got in the way. I had, you know, children. I have children with very busy schedules. I have my own ministry. I had my own ministry at the time that had a very busy schedule. And so, you know, just life just got in the way and we couldn't continue. And as much as we wanted to, you know, the schedules just wouldn't work out. And so we had to stop in the middle of the second season. And so after a couple of months, you know, I thought, you know, well, we'll get back to it in the next season. But in between that, we try to do impromptu shows where we would just come on at no particular time, in no particular rhyme or reason, just when we had the opportunity to record with someone, to have a good conversation or just dealing with something that was happening at the time. And we did one, even though I had planned to do several, with my friend DK Hammonds, talking about watching the tone of your thumbs. And so, you know, we just couldn't. Life got in the way. And during that time, I decided that I would go back to school to finish my degree and become a classroom teacher. I had been working in education for a while, and I figured that this was a great time to really invest in myself and finish my education so that I could become an actual classroom teacher working in a school district. And so we did that, you know, going back to school while having a full-time job, being a full-time dad on top of being in full-time ministry. It was difficult. And so there was no time to do a podcast. As much as it, you know, nagged on me to do, it was something that was a continual nagging and tugging on me to get done. I just couldn't get it done. I didn't have the time. I didn't have the energy to add that into the repertoire. So I focused on finishing school. I graduated. And just like you do after you, you know, earn a degree, you get a job, you get acclimated to a new career. And I did that. I got a job, started working, you know, bought a house, you know, we moved on up to the north side of town, if you will, and, you know, bought a house, which was an ordeal of itself. We, you know, working in the school district, moving into the new home, into the new neighborhood. Then in the middle of that, I decided to join the greatest fraternity of them all, the oldest and the coldest, Ice Cold Brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha. Shout out to your brothers. I joined the fraternity. And so many different things that was going on in my personal life. But being a podcaster, doing podcasts, just kept tugging on me. And one of the things that I discovered is that the more you don't do something, the easier it is to never do it again. The more you stay away from it, the more you put it off, the easier it is to just never pick it up, the harder it is to get back to it. But during this season, you know, this was something that just would not leave me alone. It just kept being this nagging thing of something that I just know I had to do. You know, while I wanted it to be a good thing, I just never got back to it because, you know, I communicate for a living. This is what I do. Whether I'm teaching in a classroom or ministering behind a pulpit, communication is what I do. This is the gift that God has given me. So it shouldn't have been a great chore to come back to this, but I just allowed fear. I just allowed the need to be perfect, the need to put out this perfect thing to stop me from doing what I pretty much know that God has called me to do. But during this time, there were several people that just kind of poured into me and said things that jarred me and got my attention. That brings us to this point that coming back to podcasting, I had to do some things. I had to let go of some things, and people just dropped these nuggets along the way that really pushed me back into this. The first thing is that nothing great is done inside of your comfort zone. Nothing great is done inside of your comfort zone. If you want to accomplish anything that is great, anything that blesses people in a deep and meaningful way, nine times out of 10, you have to step outside of what's comfortable for you. And one of the things that I feared the most about podcasting, and which is why I formatted the show when it was Church Folks the way I did, was because I was afraid to just sit down and talk to a microphone. That was a fear of mine, that I wouldn't have the personality or the right things to say. And it was in my comfort zone to have a co-host, to try and make it light, to try and make it comical in order to reach a large audience or whatever. And so I allowed that fear to stop me because I knew that if I was to proceed with this podcast, that I would have to do it by myself, that I couldn't bring on a co-host to complicate the process of getting it done. And that honestly, just it scared me, because sitting down talking to a microphone is not the same as standing in front of a classroom. Communicating through a microphone without an audience is not the same as preaching behind a pulpit to a church full of people. It's just not the same. You don't feel the energy. You don't see when people are listening or where you're losing your audience. You can't, it's harder to gauge when you're getting off course or getting off track. And so, you know, sitting behind the microphone and just talking was something that I was afraid of. But because that's inside of my comfort zone, being with somebody else, talking with a group of people, and not taking the opportunity just to talk one-on-one with people, because many people don't know, I'm an introvert. While I can come off as a great big personality, I really don't like being in crowds. Well, I mean, I don't mind being in crowds, but I would prefer, you know, just to, you know, sit down and recharge by myself. But if I'm going to have a conversation, I'd much rather it be in front of an audience. Audiences have never scared me. My parents prepared me by having me sing all the time in front of audiences. So I worked out my nerves from being in front of an audience a long time ago. But when I have a one-on-one conversation, I feel so awkward, and I don't know how to stand or hold my hands or where to look on somebody's face or in somebody's eyes. I feel so awkward. So you can imagine how awkward it is to just talk without having somebody to look at. It makes it almost 10 times worse. And so, you know, that comfort zone stopped me from moving forward. But the honest to God truth is, nothing that is great is done inside of your comfort zone. Every person who has made a major contribution in any way had to step outside of their comfort zone in order to get it done. I consider Kobe Bryant, and how I didn't know because I wasn't much of a fan when he was playing. I just don't like the Lakers. I'm sorry. I just don't. But just to find out that he practiced hours and hours a day alone before practicing with the team just speaks volumes of how seriously he took his craft and how he had to challenge himself even before coming to the team practice. And he even did this after retiring. Even after being a professional basketball player, he continued that regimen because that he was dedicated to the process and not just the results. And so nothing great is done inside of your comfort zone. That was the one thing that really pushed me to this point. Another thing that really pushed me to this point is that you can't give too much thought about what others think about you. And this was a tough one for me. I've had several people, including my wife, and you know, we're having conversation during this COVID-19 time. And she just says, you know what, you care too much about what people think. And I do. I don't know why. She has always had this personality that I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. If you like it, good. If you don't, oh, well, sorry. She just has this personality where she just got to be herself. And I have been more of the personality throughout all my life that has done what is expected of me. And so I just cared too much about, you know, what people think about what I do. And doing this podcast is, you know, putting myself out there in a major way, because I'm opening myself up to a world much larger than what I know by putting my voice on display, by putting my thoughts on display. I am opening myself up and making myself vulnerable to the world. And I just cared too much about what people thought or what people think. And that stopped me from moving forward. But one of my friends, Dr. Cheryl Carr, she said one time, she said that if you are a gift, or if God has given you this talent or this ability, and you are a gift to the world, then you cannot control how people receive you. And that jarred me, that if I am a gift, or if I have this gift given by God to be a blessing to the world, that I can't control how people receive me. I can't the only way that I could do what it is that God has called me to do is if I get a certain result. That's like if I give you $100, and don't worry, I'm not. You're not gonna. I don't have $100 to give you. I'm sorry. But if I gave you $100, I can't dictate to you how to spend that money. It's not my business. It's not my place. Nor is it mine anymore to decide what you do with it. And if I say, here's $100, spend it on yourself, do something for you. If you decide to spend it on your children, or if you decide to spend it on your boo, I have nothing to say because it's no longer my money. It's what I've given to you for you to use how you see fit. And so while it is, I may be able to control my obedience, while I'm able to control my quality, I cannot control the results. I cannot control how people receive me. And as much as I want to be loved and respected and enjoyed for what I do, I can't control how people receive me. That is not how a gift works. And I'm still working through the process of letting that go because, this is a business. You know, doing a podcast is a business, where you look at the numbers and you determine whether or not you should continue, because it costs money. And I'm putting my own money into this, you know, taking money out of my own household to get this done. And so numbers are important, and knowing that people are engaging with the content is important. But, you know, there's an old adage in the church that if only one soul gets blessed by what it is that you do, you have to be okay with that. That's something that I'm just going to have to be okay with. And this may just be an investment into somebody else's future or into somebody else's greatness, because I can't control the results. It's not up to me whether or not this podcast is going to be a hit, but it is up to me to do what I do well and to follow through with what I believe that God has called me to do. So number one, I can't do anything great inside of my comfort zones. And then I can't give too much thought to what other people think about me. And finally, procrastination only confirms and justifies my fears. That the more I procrastinate, because 9 times out of 10, procrastination is the desire to be perfect. And so because if I can't do it big, then I won't do it at all. If I can't do it and be great at it, I won't do it at all. But if my fear is that people won't engage with it because it's not great, if I don't do it at all, people cannot engage with it. I have great ideas in my head. I have great conversations that I'm mapping out in my mind, but nobody will hear it if I don't do it. And so I don't have to be great. I don't have to be really pristine. It doesn't have to be done in a professional studio at this point just to be obedient and get it done. Because one thing I've discovered during this coronavirus time is that people are okay with something that is not pristine, that we are okay with content that is not polished, as long as it's a blessing, as long as it's informing, as long as it's inspiring. It doesn't have to be super polished. And so I just allowed procrastination to confirm the fears that I had, because the more I didn't podcast, the more other people did. The more that I didn't produce this content, the more other people got engaged with other people's platforms. And while other people were growing their audience, my audience was not growing because I wasn't giving them anything to feed off of. And so procrastination only confirms my fears when I don't do what I know that I'm called to do, because I'm afraid people won't enjoy it, or people won't engage with it, or people won't share it. As long as I'm holding back, there is nothing for anyone else to engage with. And so this brings me to this place where, you know, a friend of mine, I was a guest on his podcast, Gerard Ware. He invited me to be on his podcast to talk about teen violence. And he said, you know, we're using this time as an opportunity to put out a lot of content because people are at home. They're not doing much. And because they're stuck at home, they might find us and enjoy what it is that we do, or become inspired by what it is that we do. And I said, you know what? You're right. If there's not any other time, I have the time now. I have the opportunity. I have the resources to get something done. That why shouldn't I do it? So here I am. You know, I understand that nothing great happens outside of my comfort zone. And though I'm, you know, uncomfortable with doing this way, I had to move forward. I had to let go of what people think and know that this is designed for someone, that because I feel like God has impressed me to do this content, to do this broadcast, that it's going to be a blessing to somebody, that somebody is going to make a shift by me being obedient to the gift. And that, you know, I can't put it off any longer, because the more I procrastinate, the more I confirm my own fears. And so here we are, Building People Podcast. And this season is going to be great conversations with other people that are doing great things outside of the church walls. But even more than that, from time to time, I will be coming and just talking to the microphone with what it is that God has pressed upon my heart. So as you join in and listen to these conversations, I pray that you get inspired in the same way that I've been.
Now, if you followed this show when it was church folks, you know that I ended every show by opening up the doors of the church. And so I can't let that go. I got to keep that going. Today, I want to open up the doors of the church for every person who is sharing content on all of your social media platforms, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it is that you do, and you don't fact check the stuff that you're sharing. This is a time where people are needing information. They're desiring and wanting to know what's going on in the world. And it's so much. And, you know, I don't want to quote our president But, you know, there's so much fake news out there and people are sharing it left and right like it is actual news because they see a headline that confirms something that they're feeling and they just share it all willy-nilly. It's not smart. It's not right. And you just got to stop. You're just stirring up the pot of fear, stirring up the pot of controversy when you don't even have the whole story. And the ones that I see the most are stories that deal with coronavirus or COVID-19 and church folks. You know, people are on all sides of the issues as to whether or not churches should be meeting during this time. And I get it. I understand. But wherever anybody falls on that spectrum, we should respect their convictions and whatever it is that they have decided to do. And then when something happens or someone dies because of the virus, we should be respectful of the fact that it was a human life lost. And if they were going to church or if they attended a funeral, you know, that was something that they felt like they needed to do. And I understand this is a time where we have to, you know, be a lot more cautious and follow more guidelines. But let's please get the whole story and get it right before we share it with the world, because you just might be passing on a lie. When the Bible talks about thou shalt not bear false witness, he's talking about sharing content on your social media without fact checking it first, too. He saw this coming. So that's it. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I appreciate your time and I hope something has been said to help you and bless you and encourage you. So if you will, do us a favor, subscribe to this podcast or wherever you get your podcast from. Rate it if you like it. If you don't like it, just, you know, act like you didn't hear it. You ain't got to tell nobody. But when you rate podcast on the platforms, it helps people to find this podcast. So share this with your friends, share this with your family. If it's been a blessing to you, help us to spread our little positivity, and we'll greatly appreciate that. And know that as we go through this series, as we go through this season, that you'll be edified, you'll be built up through the conversations that we have about life, ministry, and culture. Y'all be blessed. Know that God loves you best, and I love you best I can.